Well, here we are. We have lit the first Advent candle. We have seen the first painting of this new Advent season. And we are heading towards Christmas. But there are, of course, other signs, right? We've had our first snowfall, and it has gotten cold. And those things have had me kind of humming and even singing at times. It's starting to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Hey, come on, all the songs are back on the radio. Is that not great? I think there's that station that plays them all the time. It's awesome. You know, lights have started to go up on people's homes. It's adding warmth to, you know, kind of sometimes the dreary weather that's out there, like maybe today, but there's warmth at night and you see the lights. It's beautiful. Christmas is coming. And I bet some of you here this morning, you have already gotten all of your Christmas shopping done. Yeah, and if you're saying yes, here's my bet. I'm betting you're women. Because men are notorious around Christmas for procrastinating, and then they congregate on the 24th at Walmart in a mad panic. But, I mean, come on, last week we came through Black Friday. This week we had a Cyber Monday, all those great deals. And for some, this is all about getting ready for Christmas, getting those gifts. You know, we went and picked up our tree yesterday as a family. The family we have left here, we got two in Texas, but the rest of us, we went and got our tree. And we used to go hiking up into the bush in British Columbia, in Kamloops, and we would get a permit, because that's how you do it legally, go on to Crown Land, and we would chop down a tree and bring it home. Now, we go to IKEA. But it's all about getting the house ready, right, for Christmas. Maybe you're like us. We have boxes and boxes of Christmas decorations. They get pulled out every year, and our home is transformed. For this 1 month, every year, the home looks very, very different because Christmas is coming, and we need to have our homes prepared for that. And this can all be good. I think this is all kind of good. But Advent is not about preparing our homes. Advent is not about rushing around in preparation for family and friends and parties. Advent, the season of Advent, is about preparing our hearts for the coming of Jesus. And candidly, if we spent half the time preparing our hearts, the time that we would put in to preparing our homes for Christmas, you know, we would spiritually be in fabulous shape for the coming of Jesus, for our hearts to be blessed as we welcome him. The first Sunday of Advent, which we're in right now, is all about hope. And hope is real and so very, very real and powerful in our lives. Or maybe I should say it can be powerful in our lives. Because as much as this time of year can be awesome for so many of us, for others, hope would be a wonder. Because where they are, what they are experiencing is not hope, but despair. And yet Jesus is the gift of hope. So we're going to pray, and we're going to look at a visit of an angel to a young teenage girl. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the worship that is already taking place here today. And Lord Jesus, I want to ask that you would forgive me my sins, cleanse me. Holy Spirit, please come fill me up now. And Jesus, come and preach this message with me this morning. Lord, I want to pray for my family. I ask that their hearts, their minds, their souls would be open to you today to hear from you. And Lord, that you would bring the word that you have for them. Thank you, Jesus, for all you have done for us. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father God, for sending your Son. And Lord, I pray that you'll just bless the rest of our time here this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, it is a wonderful thing that Luke fills us in on what takes place at the front end of the gospel story. And what we're looking at today, this is a miracle. a miracle that takes place. But let me kind of fill you in on what is happening in Israel at this time. Now, the Jewish nation is under the rule of Rome. And the Roman Empire is well established at this time. And the Jewish people, they are a feisty people. And that leads to rebellions from time to time, which the Romans put down. Now, the Jewish people wanted to be free of the Romans. And there have been many prophecies that have come about the Messiah and all that he would do. So there is this hope within the Jewish people that God would send his Messiah to save them. Now, they had created a picture in their minds of what this Messiah would be like and all that he would do. I don't know if you ever noticed this, but how God operates and how we would like God to operate can at times be worlds apart. But still, they had this hope that Messiah would come. And as the passage starts out that I'm about to read to you, it makes a reference to the sixth month. And that reference is to John the Baptist, who's in his mama's womb at this time. So let me read this to you. Luke 1, 26, 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." So you might remember a few weeks ago, I talked about trying to place yourself in the moment, to put yourself into the story. And it can help us here. Mary could be as young as 13 or at the most 16. She is a teenager. And we're not told what Gabriel looked like, but there's no doubt she would have recognized him as an angel. And God sent Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. This is not a big city. This is a humble little town of mostly farmers of different sorts. And who is this Mary who has found favor with God? Well, by the world's standard, in the grand scheme of things, she was a nobody. Sure, she was important to her family, but to Rome, nobody. To the leaders of Nazareth, she was just another girl. She was a nobody. But nothing could be further from the truth. She had found favor with God. God saw her. He saw her. You know, we live in this world that is constantly sending us messages about who we are or what we should be, how we need to measure up. If you want to be the best in the world, if you want to be a somebody. And you can disagree with me here, but what the world says we need to be, I think it leads to despair if we chase after it. I mean, popularity, recognition by people, all the toys that we might have that point to how we have made it. I mean, thousands, maybe for you, it's thousands of followers on Twitter or Instagram. Maybe that great job, you kind of feel will make you a somebody. Maybe the big house. Maybe the perfect body. And I ask, are you chasing after those things? And don't get me wrong here. If you have some of that stuff, it's not bad. But if you're pursuing those things, thinking, I will be a somebody once I achieve them, that is disheartening. It's disheartening. See, I read about Mary, and I feel hope. I really do. Because God sees Mary. He has favor on her. A nobody to the rest of the world, and yet she is about to join God in the wonder of seeing the greatest gift ever given come to be. I feel hope because I felt like a nobody. And I'm betting many of you who are here this morning, somewhere in your past, Or maybe some of you, even right now, you feel that way. You feel like a nobody. Now, I want you to remember, and I know you guys have heard my story before, but that I was a kid with ADD. I was dyslexic. I spent years in speech therapy. I was called dumb by more than one teacher through my public education. And I felt at times like Mr. Nobody, that I would never measure up. Can I tell you right now, that is a lie from the pit of hell. And the evil one would love you to buy in to that, that you are a nobody. And then have you chase after what the world says we need in order to be a somebody. God sees you. He sees you. And for some of you today, just knowing that truth can bring hope. And God sees you like he saw Mary. Let's go back to the text. The angel said to her, the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God." Mary was living in the favor of God. And I want to be careful here this morning, because you may misunderstand me today and think what I am encouraging looks like a gospel of works. It's not. Next Sunday, we're going to be having communion. We are going to be remembering all that Jesus did for us on the cross, even as we are in the midst of celebrating Advent, his coming. And today, I want to remind you, we can never earn our salvation. It is a gift through Jesus, his sacrifice on the cross. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For it is by grace, God's undeserved merit, you have been saved through faith. Our trust in what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross in paying our sin debt. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." There is nothing we can do to earn our salvation. No amount of good works will open eternity with God for us. I mean, not even perfect church attendance, not all the things you may do to help others, none of it. It is through Christ alone, that we get to God. Because Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, Jesus is the life. How we get to God is through Jesus. But living in the favor of God, that is something that we can do. That is something that is so simple. And yet, at the same time, in this Canadian culture we're living in, incredibly difficult. Do you want to live in the favor of God? Then obey him. Then obey him. It is that simple. It is that hard. There is something, though, that precedes obedience. And it's love. It is love. And I think it is the key ingredient which leads to obedience, love. Do you remember what Jesus' response was when he was asked, "What is the greatest command?" He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Love is powerful. And this love we are to have is a complete love. It is our whole being, our heart, our soul, our mind. We are to love God with all that we are. You know, I've mentioned recently, as I've been going through that series on miracles, that Bonnie and I, we drive Katie like back and forth, back and forth, back and forth to gymnastics all the time. And she's thankful. But why do we do it? Because we love her. Because we love her. This past Wednesday night, I took Renee, who's my third daughter, who has been putting in 60 hours a week at Amazon and finally got a night off. So I took her out to see Wreck-It Ralph 2. Why? Because I love her. It was something I knew she wanted to do. And I love her, so we went. And why do I continue to honor the vow that I made to Bonnie, you know, over 25 years ago? And I got to tell you, at the time, I really had no idea the scope of the vow I was making, how much it would actually include. But I knew I loved her, and so I made that vow. And I continue to choose to love her, to love Bonnie, in all the ups and all the downs of our marriage. My choice to love leads to action. Let me say that again. My choice to love leads to action. Let me remind you, love is a choice. First and foremost, love is a choice. And I know how counterculture that is, because we want to believe love is a feeling, and it's not. It is a choice. You do not fall out of love. You choose to stop loving and stop acting in love. Love is a choice. It can bring all kinds of feelings. It really does. You know, and a whole host of feelings it can bring. But at its core, it is a choice. And when you love God, it leads to action. It leads to obedience. Jesus said, John 14:21, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." You see Jesus when you live in obedience to him. But it gets even better. Jesus says, John 15:9-11, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy would be complete." See, that sounds like the favor of God to me. Love and obedience, walking hand in hand. And when you love, obedience is not always hard. Sometimes it can be a joy. Sometimes, even though you love, it's still hard. But it leads to joy. See, Mary, I believe, found favor with God because she loved God. Her faith was not just in religious acts. She truly loved God and was living in obedience to him. See, in all of us, every one of us here, we can live in the favor of God. As Christians, live in his favor. Now, every one of us, as a believer of God, a believer in Christ, we live in the grace of God. And that grace, we desperately need it. But this favor comes through simple obedience. And it leads to joy, the joy of Christ. And I got to tell you, it's pretty awesome. It really is. Back to the text, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." And here comes the message. "You will be a child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Okay, this is overwhelming. Okay, I mean, if Mary's like 13, 14 years old, this is crazy. And Mary asks the obvious question, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, "Since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Now, just to be really clear here, there was no sexual act. This is a miracle of the virgin birth. And Mary, I am sure, is wrestling with all of this. And the angel passes on good news to her about Elizabeth, who's her relative, who is quite old, well past the age of having a kid. And he says, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. I wonder how many of us this morning need to remind ourselves of that. Nothing is impossible with God. Is there something right now that's causing you to despair? Remind yourself, with God, nothing is impossible. Let me reemphasize, with God. With God, nothing is impossible. My friends, I don't know about you, but I want to be with God. I want to love my Lord and live in his favor, like Mary did. And this last verse in the passage that we're looking at today really speaks volumes to all I've already said here. Mary says, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Mary's response to the angel says so much about her, about living in the favor of God. She says, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary had a heart full of humility before God. She was surrendered to God in her life. Are we? Are you surrendered to God in your life? This would be a wonderful place to wrap up the message. Put a big old bow on it and go like, all right, let's all go out and live in the favor of God by being obedient. I don't want to be that pastor. You know, I know that sometimes pastors and they really want to encourage their church family, so they get the shovel out and they start shoveling away and saying, hey, it's all going to go well for you. Okay, let's just think about this for a minute. Let's think about Mary for a minute, okay? Because here she is. She's living in the favor of God, but there is a rough road ahead of her. With her parents, with her fiancé, Joseph. How about all the town folks that are going to be gossiping about her? Have you heard about Mary? Woo-hoo. She says an angel came and visited her. Well, she's creative, if nothing else. A rough road ahead for the one living in the favor of God. See, being in the favor of God does not mean smooth sailing. But it does mean you are with God. You are with God. And you're in a place for the great things of God to happen. And there is no other place that I would ever rather be than in the favor of God. How do you get there? Love and obedience. That simple, that hard. Love God and obey him. Love God and obey him. And my friends, in this culture we're living in, we have a problem with obedience. We have a problem with anyone telling us what to do. And yet at the core of following Jesus is surrender to him. We bow our knee. Jesus, I am yours. My life is yours. I will go where you say. I will do what you say. I will live as you call me to live, because I am yours. And I understand the depth of what you have done for me. Jesus, you are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. We live our lives and surrender to him. And any one of us, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can do that. Should we choose? Today, if you are feeling like the world is telling you that you are a nobody, and it's giving you a whole list of things to chase after, don't believe it. Don't believe it. Hope is real. And you are in the hands of the living God of creation. And you can live and surrender to him, living in his favor. And you, as you live in his favor, you will be changed. And your life will impact others around you. And you will know the joy of Jesus. See, Jesus did not come Jesus did not come so we could stay the same. He came that we might have hope. And what a hope we have in Jesus.